Chapter 2. Dantioch. 999.M30. Golcis, the Volpa Straits, Sactrada Deeps. Barabbas Dantioch was tired of the dark. His face longed for bright sunlight, and he went helmless as much as the temperature allowed. But it was never light on Golcis, not truly. Its small wan sun shone candle-dim in a sky crowded with stars. Lit by pale white light, Golcis's grey rock made for a confusing landscape where shadow and stone were difficult to tell apart, as if the planet had camouflaged itself in order to hide. White dwarfs birthed poor planets, as a rule, but Golcis seemed especially unfriendly, as if resentful of the Iron Warrior's presence. Yet there was life of a sort on Golcis. Primitive lichens clung to shaded rocks, and there were fungi-like plant animals in the caves. A thin atmosphere gave the garrison enough air to breathe. The stone was poor, but when crushed and sintered, it made passable blocks for the construction of the fortress. An Iron Warrior worked with what he had. These thoughts and many others passed through Dantioch's well-ordered mind as he stood upon the parapet. His grand battalion laboured 100 meters away, shoring up the weakened west wall. All the while, Sergeant Zolan spoke urgently, as he already had at length.
"Golcis is lost, Warsmith," Zolan was saying. "We need to evacuate this place. Crack Fiorina is under nightly siege. Our company at Stratopoli is suffering catastrophic losses. These worlds cannot be held. We're damned if we stay here by those thrice-cursed things. Look below. The rock at the western facing is rotten through."
He pointed down the wall to where Iron Warriors laboured with heavy construction units. Cracks in the stone peeked through the shrouding of plastic-covered scaffolding. There was a watercourse far beneath the wall. For some reason, the alien Hrud favoured it as some sort of conduit. Transiting its length, they simply vanished. How they did this was a mystery, and where they went when they traversed it equally so.
"They pass through the bowels of the earth in such numbers," said Dantioch,
scratching irritably at his short beard,
"that our wall returns to the dust whence it came." "Everything is failing," said Zolan. "My squad has multiple issues with its equipment, and my men are not alone."
Warsmith Dantioch watched a 3-story tall machine scratch at the ground with bladed shovels, while another waited to pump rockcrete into the watercourse. The work progressed slowly. Their serfs were all dead, the auxiliaries too. Most of their servitors had aged into uselessness.
"The Primarch orders us to hold the Volpa Straits," Dantioch said. "We are iron. We will not bend. Iron perishes with time, and time is against us. Do you think me so lacking in honour and fortitude that I would suggest a retreat lightly?" said Zoltan forcefully. "There are too few of us left to hold this place. Our orders have been superseded by circumstance. There is no point in holding the straits any longer. There will be no settlement here while this migration builds, and we cannot utilise it as a supply line. Warsmith, the Hrud have not settled here. They do not seem to be about to change their minds. We should let them pass through and return when they have gone. The 51st expedition is finished. Let us retreat, regroup, and throw ourselves on Perturabo's mercy, preciously rare as that is, while there are still some of us left to retreat. I am sure you can sway the Primarch."
Dantioch turned a disapproving face on his subordinate.
"We hold," he repeated slowly, as if he were speaking to a mentally deficient serf.
Zolan's face twisted in anger, but he bowed, his palm flat against his heart.
"As you command, Warsmith," he said. "Iron within."
"Iron without," responded Dantioch. Zolan let him be. Dantioch was glad of the respite. He had little to say to Zolan because Zolan was right. Golcis was lost, and the 51st Expeditionary Fleet had come to the end of its life.
"I could blame Perturabo for this," he thought.
His fleet had been spread too thin in the first place. 2 grand battalions were an insufficiency of warriors for so many worlds. But he was not the sort of man to place the blame for his own failings on others. What he had been asked to do was difficult but not impossible. There had been little in the Straits to oppose them. The Harud Warrens there had been minor and easily overcome, if ease could ever be a term applied to warfare against such terrible alien beasts. After compliance, they were tasked with raising fortifications to act as nexuses for future colonies and waypoints for the Legion's supply fleets. It was the standard manner of war for his kind, and the sort of task that Dantioch had performed 100 times before. Nevertheless, he was troubled. Things had changed, his Primarch not least among them. Behind Perturabo's cold facade, Dantioch sensed a hint of desperation. And the Primarch was not alone in this change. The Iron Warriors as a whole were becoming harder, more callous, less caring of their own lives and of the lives of those they were supposed to protect. Sergeant Zolan was a loyal warrior, perhaps one of the few, like Dantioch, who saw this turning of the tide and sensed the trouble it brought. But he had too much iron in him. His plain speaking had kept him from captaincy. Still, Dantioch was glad of this lone, forthright voice, even though he could never join his to it in support, despite privately agreeing with much of what the sergeant said. The spirit of his legion had dimmed, burned out by a century of brutal sieges and thankless garrison work far from the glorious fronts of the Great Crusade. And now this, a deployment into nowhere. Dantioch could see that in 100 years, 500 years maybe, the worlds of the Sactrada Deeps might become important to the Imperium. They were rich in minerals, but so were many millions more that were closer to the border and not infested with time-warping Xenos. They were so far away from the Imperium's edge. The feeble stars of the subsector lacked any of the rare and precious Terran analog worlds that mankind so coveted. As far as the Sactrada Deeps were concerned, miserable Golkis was a paradise. Obviously, the Harud were devilish creatures. They could not be allowed to survive, especially in such great numbers. Dantioch understood that. But it did not account for why they must die now. Containment would have been the rational option. That was the cause of Dantioch's unease, the lack of logic to the expedition. The whole campaign looked, on the surface, to be pointless, though Dantioch was not a warrior to see the surface of anything, be it metal, stone, or an idea, and judge it upon that merit alone. And so, in the darker hours, he ruminated on the Legion's purpose in the Sactrada Deeps. He could find no explanation that satisfied him save one, and that concerned him so greatly that, though he gave it no real credence, it dogged him through the nights and the days. It was this. If one wished to wage a campaign to break a Legion's spirit, it would be a campaign like this. The Iron Warriors lived up to the metal they took their name from in every way, strong, versatile, and hard. But iron required care, like any other thing. Poorly forged iron might shatter when hit by a precise blow. Dantioch had challenged their orders, but Perturabo was too proud to question commands from Terra, too bloody-minded to stand against them and pronounce them wrong. His Primarch's greatest failing was his inability to engage, to stand up and say no. He would rather sulk. Perturabo was a genius, afflicted by ego. Nevertheless, things had been proceeding well until the nightly Harud transits began. A migration was building, almost certainly a reaction to the Iron Warriors' presence in the sector. All the signs were there. Strange lights in the sky, ships that appeared and vanished, incursions of Harud on the surface, alone at first, and always near the sites of the destroyed Warrens, but then more of them. Groups following the watercourse, and lately armed soldier caste intruding inside the fortress itself. Dantioch left the parapet and headed towards the wall gate. Made only months ago, the fortress had the look of something thousands of years old. Its walls aged unnaturally quickly under the influence of the time-warping auras of the Harud. The legionaries manning the fortress were not immune to this effect either. Supposedly immortal, Dantioch felt age in his bones. An annoying tickle in his chest threatened to turn into a cough with every breath. His hair, previously jet black, had thinned and greyed around the temples. Even Zolan dared not voice the fear that they were dying by degree. None of them could. But they were. Dantioch looked up at the sky. The pathetic pearl drop of the sun, weak enough to stare at directly, was sinking away into the west. He hurried within, towards the armory, dismissing the aches in his joints with an act of will. The Harud always came at night, and night was fast approaching.